Thank you.
All right. Anything else from the commission? All right. Thank you, Chad. Good presentation. Next up, we have Paul and Jason discussing Habitat Stamp Project.
Good morning, members of the commission and Secretary Roby. I'm not sure I'm having control here if you can see the screen that I'm sharing, the presentation.
Yep, we're good, Paul.
Okay, thank you. Again, Paul Coughlin, Wildlife Division Habitat Program Administrator, and Jason Youngworth and I are going to share some just a brief presentation of some Habitat Stamp funded projects, both accomplishments and plans for the coming year. Maybe Jason, at this point, do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah. Good morning, Mr. Chair, Commission Secretary Roebling, Jason Youngworth, Aquatic Habitat and Access Coordinator, and Peter. I'll be covering our section at the end after Paul finished up.
Okay. Habitat Stamp project, as many of you know, or Habitat Stamp was passed in the 2020 legislature and it was implemented, or we were able to start spending those funds in July of 2020. And it was really quite a boon for us as an agency, of course, because of the, just the resources it brought to helping to improve habitat and public access for hunting and fishing. The challenge was that that responsibility really weighed heavily, was placed on the shoulders of our aquatic and terrestrial habitat teams throughout the state. And I believe a little later on here in the commission meeting, Dan Sternhagen and Owen McElroy will give you a presentation of some of the game production and management practices that folks up in that northeast region have been doing. But that this responsibility for the Habitat Stamp project fell square on the shoulders of those folks, and I have to give a shout out to them for all their hard work and everything that they did to make those projects happen. So as I mentioned, the Habitat Stamp the funds started rolling in July of 2020, and as typical with any of our game production and management practices, we have a slate of things, are laid out that our crews want to accomplish on any one calendar year. And with the start of the Habitat Stamp money being basically the middle of a field season, it really presented a challenge for our folks. And one of the ways that our folks really helped themselves in dealing with this is they wanted to get those projects on the ground, but they also knew that they had a full workload ahead of them for the season. So much of the work that was done during 2020 and 2021 was contract work. And what you see in front of you here is just a rundown of some of the projects that were done on game production areas across the state. At the end of the presentation, we'll have a map that kind of shows where these projects have been distributed across the state. But you can see that a lot of the focus is on strictly on habitat and access, things like grassland reconstruction projects, pollinator plots, things like that, food plots, things that are traditional habitat-type projects on game production areas. Woody habitat plans that, these are the sort of things that take any of these things take a lot of planning, and again, our crews were able to step up to the plate and put together a good slate of projects in a very short period of time, and get those implemented in 2020 and 2021. And tremendous results of those activities. As far as the coming season, you know, again, our folks are looking at, you know, the planning part of this is really a challenge as much as putting it on the ground. But they've done a wonderful job of coming up with really $2.7 million worth of habitat improvement projects to implement on game production areas across the state. The list you see there is just a rundown of the various types kind of lumped together. You know, each one of these is a specific project. You know, but I think we have, if I'm not mistaken, well over 200 different individual projects, but they kind of get lumped into these general categories here. And I think the other thing that's important to note about this is that these habitat stamp projects are really in addition to what our crews are normally doing for operation and maintenance work on our new production areas. So while the habitat stamp money provided a lot of opportunity to do habitat and access improvements on game production areas, it did put a bit of a burden on our folks to get their staff engaged in these and get contracts lined up. Again, many of these projects are things that are done through contracting, just because we're still trying to do our regular operation and maintenance work on game production areas, and we're fully equipped to do that, but we just need to, we're just doing more. Folks are doing more, so that's kind of where we are with the game production is this year. Another component of the habitat stamp, of course, is to finish out the James River Watershed Prep, the Conservation and Human Enhancement Program. I believe most of you are familiar with the PREP program. It's a hunting access program centered around the Conservation Reserve Program acres. It's been very successful in the James River watershed. We were in a position where our James River watershed prep was authorized for 100,000 acres enrollment, but a number of years ago we stopped that at 80,000 acres for various reasons, but the habitat stamp resources that were brought to the table are allowing us to now fully enroll those 100,000 acres of that James River watershed prep. Right now it's estimated that's been provided another $1.5 million annually towards that program. But it will, again, bring us from that 80,000 acres that we had on the ground to that full enrollment of 100,000 acres. Enrollment in that program is ongoing as we speak. It's a continuous practice. It's one that any producer, any landowner with an interest in enrolling in PREP in the James River watershed can go into the USDA office and sign up at any time. So that's a little bit from the terrestrial side. I'll turn it over to Jason to go through the aquatic habitat access projects, and then we can take some questions at the end.
Thanks, Paul. Jason Youngworth here again. Just kind of a lot of the same stuff that Paul mentioned, you know, with the inception of the habitat stamp funding in the middle of the field season. The staff out there were already in the middle and had their plans for that field season. They knew what they were going to do, what they were going to be working on improvements and maintaining facilities out there around the state. When it came on board, they did a good job of starting to identify projects that they wanted to make improvements on, and kind of changed their focus as they got into that off season into the next 2021. It just took a little bit for them guys to get their feet underneath them, to figure things out. And when you're dealing with water on the aquatic side, there's a lot more to it than permitting and requirements like that are needed. So some of these things take a little longer to get going, especially on the habitat side. Oop, back one, Paul.
Thank you.
Especially on the habitat side, trying to make habitat improvements is a little bit bigger task. There's a lot more that goes into it. So those are our first kind of main focus of projects have been access related. You can see we kind of grouped them out into different categories. access improvements, which are things like expanding some parking lots, minor ramp work, or shore fishing improvements, which the two pictures on the right show an improvement that's still in the works right now. It's not a completed quite a completed project yet. It was implemented last fall. It's at Lake Louise Rec area by Miller, just a little bit north of Miller. The top picture shows a cattail area on the back campground area. So there's not much access to the lake, but we are able to, with the low water, easier permitting, able to go in there and have a contractor come in, remove those cattails and open it up in that bottom picture. We're going to put some rock fabric and gravel down and make that a much more easily accessible area. There's a picnic shelter right here. Feedback from the park manager there and the public that are seeing it, they're really excited to have this new opportunity. You can see how much more of the lake it opens up in a pretty popular fishing area for boats. We have some boat ramp development projects. One was a big new development, some waterfowl components to it, dam repairs. You know, you've heard a lot about over the years. We have like 86 dam structures that we own. We're getting worked on getting those repairs made and getting them back up to where they need to be. We had 12 dams around the state that were repaired last year, most of them out west. We got more coming up. We had a couple dock and pier projects, access road and trail work. Habitat structures is one. We put artificial habitat structures out there, not really to make a huge difference in the population. We don't put a lot of them out there, but we try to target like off fishing piers or popular shore fishing locations, draw fish into those areas to increase success and angler satisfaction. We did get a couple of habitat projects. We had in the works already a dredging and aeration project and one native planting. These native plantings are kind of shoreline restoration projects to stabilize the shoreline. This one here is down in the Sioux Falls area, Lake Lorain, right in the middle of Sioux Falls. It's a very popular program up in the Northeast. But getting this first kind of a showcase project down in the middle of Sioux Falls where it's going to get some publicity and some eyes on it, it hopefully will get some spread of support and spread of this program to other water bodies in that southeast part of the state and other part of the state as well. Next slide, folks. Here's just a kind of a high overview rundown of what we're looking to do for 2022. The staff out there, and I got to put a shout out to them as well. They, the four biologists we have out there working on these, they're doing an outstanding job of putting these dollars on the ground and making improvements out there. Really access focused. We're getting some habitat projects out there as well in these water bodies. They've got a really aggressive ask or task ahead of them this year that they're trying to get done. They're looking to do 40 access improvement projects, which we kind of talked about. Some other ones are some ADA improvements and kayak launches and some other fishing access. We've actually got two out west river that are already completed this spring. Took advantage of some nice weather out in Tisdale, got a new access. Or the access finished up improvements on that, and there was a primitive ramp, and they got some cattails removed out of Whitewood to increase shore fishing opportunities. We got seven potential boat ramp projects out there that are being developed. One new one on Whitewood over by Brookings. That'll be a new development there. And a couple other ones like Linwood and Fate. It'll be modifying what we existing have to allow for improved parking and amenities at those. Here's another we're going to try to tackle. Three more dam repair packages. Which would account for about 12 more dams to get work done on those. About 2.25 miles of roads and access trails at this point, maybe more as we get into this. Got really aggressive dock and pier projects. 13 docks, 15 piers are anticipated. They may not all get completed, but they'll be in the works and being developed and coming online in the next year. We got a couple habitat improvement projects, a dredge project coming up, a couple aeration projects. We got one big aeration project down in the south central part of the state, Lake Dante, just a little bit east of Wagner. Down there, we've done a lot, some of these aeration projects in the past, we've done like one or two systems in a water body to try to make an isolated difference. But we're kind of doing, we got the biologists down there are going to kind of evaluate the conditions ahead of time, and we're going to fill this small impoundment. So I think it's just under 20 acres. I think we got four aeration system going into this small impoundment with a total of 8 diffusers to try to really make a difference and see if we can refill the water body up and make a difference on that and really benefit the fishery. And we have a couple of restoration projects out there. One that's ongoing now with Lake Osceola. Been a really great partnership with a small little lake group right next to the lake there. They've done a lot of work. We've just been a partner with between us and Sewell Public Lands. They've dredged it. That water body did the dam repairs, got a new boat ramp, some other access improvements there. That's just about finished, and if we ever get some moisture, it should be ready to fill back up with water this spring. And another one there is Newell. We're doing a dam spillway replacement out there on that dam. And in conjunction with that, while the water's low for that repair, we're going to go in there and remove a bunch of sediment, create some access improvements, and create some habitat in the basin of that water body as well, and take advantage of that opportunity. So that's kind of just a quick overview of some of the projects we got going. We're really excited to see what's going to get accomplished from these guys this summer. And next slide, I'll just kind of show you a map of where those completed projects are, the blue being the aquatics, red being the terrestrial. You can see they're getting dotted all around the state. With that, we'll be happy to answer any questions you have.
All right, thank you. Question from the commission, Mr. Spring.
How is the money distributed for this habitat? I mean, as far as the fishery to planting the grass, the different types of stuff. Is any of it used at all to help replace the fish? I mean, as far as planting and the hatcheries and all that, is any of it used in that way?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Jason here. No, there's none of the money that goes into any of the hatcheries or anything like that. It's all strictly to get projects on the ground out there for habitat and access. So it'll be anything on our water bodies or GPAs out there. And it's kind of split about a 40% aquatic and 60% terrestrial roughly. And it's based off of the license sales for that year and what percentage of a hunting license is sold versus a fishing license is sold.
All right, any additional questions? Commissioner Beast.
Commissioner Beast, USDA came out here this last week and said about 1.7 million acres were not re-enrolled in the CRP. Current grain prices are high. Are we having issues people to use habitat dollars for preserving lands, or is that a factor?
Hi, Mr. Chair. Paul Coughlin again here. The news on CRP was not good coming out recently, but I think the going back to the habitat stamp and how it can function, you know, if the habitat stamp money is particularly directed towards things like the Janjiver, Borsch, and Crest is so critical because it's basically an add-on to a regular CRP contract. Because it does provide access for hunting and fishing. And so it makes it a little more lucrative for that landowner to enroll in something like CREST. And so that habitat stamp money is playing a very critical role in not only retaining existing CREP acres in the James River watershed, but also in offering that additional financial incentive for folks to enroll in that program. So it's really a targeted effort, and it's helping to mitigate some of those negative things we're hearing about CRP enrollment coming out of the USDA.
Additional comments or questions for the commission? All right, thank you. Good presentation. I concur with you. The amount of projects and things you guys are getting done is very impressive. And congratulations to staff on really taking on a pretty large number of projects and completed them, so that's a job well done. So again, thank you. All right, next up we